You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing.
Okay, we're here again with Michael Phipps, artist extraordinaire, and we are going to be talking a little bit more in-depth about his artwork and doing artwork for books and CDs and different things like that. So let's start out. I'm real curious about how you got the job doing the cover art for James Dashner's Jimmy Fincher series.
Well, when people ask me how to get jobs in art, I tell them, and this apparently is true for a lot of different things, that it's who you know. And that's not true about every job, but probably the biggest jobs I've done, that's been the case. And so as with James, I had done a CD cover for the son of one of his coworkers. And it was just a really small painting of bunch of clouds coming down, raining down, that I had done maybe, I don't know, 6 months or a year before we first talked. But he somehow found out through this coworker that I had done this art for her son. And so he just gave me a call one day and while I was working and just said, hey, I've got these books, three books that are already out, and there's the fourth book is about to come out, but the company wants, or the publisher wants to put some paintings on it, because previously they had just had some photography on it. And because they really wanted to, you know, beef up the marketing. And, so, yeah, it was just, and this is a really rare thing to for the author to call the artist. And so I'm really happy it worked out that way, because we got to talk about together about what he wanted on the book, and he'd give some ideas and I'd counter with what I thought would look good. And so he, at the time, like I say, it was the fourth book was about to come out, and it hadn't, so it hadn't previously had this, these other covers. And so that's the first one I did is the fourth. And, then went back and started to do the other three one at a time. But he invited me over for dinner, and once again we talked a little bit more about what we'd do on the next book. And so the way it usually worked is he'd just send me an email. Here's the chapter where I was thinking, or the scene where I was thinking you could do the cover from based on that. And they wanted me to do some inside illustrations also. And so he'd say, here's a bunch of ideas. Here's a bunch of chapters you can look at for ideas there. And so I'd look at those chapters, and the ones that would immediately start to give me ideas, I'd email him back and say, hey, these ones, I think this would be really cool, or that would be cool. And so it's really neat to be able to work that way and not, you know, have a middleman.
Yeah, because that's not usually how book art is done. You don't usually meet with the author or get input.
Right. It's sometimes you never talk at all. And I'm not speaking from experience. The books that I've done, it's always I've always been able to talk to the author. I've just done the five books, four with James and then one with John Shute. And it was the same process with him where I just got to talk to him about the art. And so, yeah, normally the art director at the publishing house will be the one talking to the artist. And, you know, there are times when the author will see the final product and not be very happy, you know, that it doesn't, this doesn't portray the main character very well.
Not that
well,
the artwork is bad, it just doesn't fit their vision of, of the story.
Or in some cases, it doesn't even fit the book.
Yeah. Because do they just give you like a summary of the book to go off of, or do you read the entire book, or... Like with James, you were reading different chapters?
It was nice because since the first three had already been published, there were actually audio CDs of them as well. So as I was working, I would just listen to the audio CDs.
Ooh.
And so I had all the books read.
That's a great idea.
And, you know, knew the characters and
knew the scenes,
had a feel for it.
Yeah.
So that worked well. And then If I had a question like, well, what would he be wearing here, or or anything like that, I'd just email James and say, oh, he's wearing jeans and and this and that, which was really nice.
Really helpful. Yeah.
Because in some cases it wasn't even spelled out in the book.
Yeah. They don't always give you a lot of, these days, characteristics of the characters. So you kind of have to guess.
Yeah. Or if it was, you know, trying to find it within all those pages isn't the easiest thing either. So.
Because most times they'll only mention what a character looks like once.
Yeah.
And you get maybe one mention of what their eye color is, mm-hmm. or skin color, or hair color, what they dress like.
You don't get a lot
and
of
then it's
details.
Nothing.
Yeah. And you have to kind of know their character a little bit too, because that can change the way they look.
Yeah.
And then you really don't want this mystical, ethereal look for a thriller. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. And I shouldn't say that there wasn't a middleman at all in that project, because there was an art director, and you know, she had her say in it too.
Mm-hmm.
And but she also liked the relationship that we had as author and illustrator, and let that, you know, play itself out. So that was really nice. The bad experience I had here was that, and kind of goes along with all this freedom, is that for book two, A Gift of Ice, I painted Jimmy Fincher climbing up. There's is it called the Black Finger? Anyway, there's this big stone that's coming out of the water. It's more than a stone. It's this mountain. It's kind of a pillar. And on one side, there's all these little bits of rock coming out that Jimmy climbs. And so,
it's really dramatic.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so I tried to have this dramatic picture of from above of him reaching up for another little...
Handhold.
And I finished completely that painting and turned it in. And they said, oh, well, we didn't want any paintings actually showing his face.
Oh.
And so I thought that... would have been nice to know beforehand.
Rude.
But,
why is that?
I guess to leave it up to the reader's imagination, which I can understand.
Yeah, but still,
especially if they're thinking of doing it as a movie or something of that kind, you don't want the picture on the cover
the
clashing with the picture of the actor.
But a lot of book covers, most of them, you do see their face.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's most of them do have the character just. People are more attracted to it when there's a, you know, a character on there than just a scene. Mm-hmm. But so that was a blow. And
so you had to do the whole thing over again.
Yeah. And so I guess I took the freedom too far and should have, even though they weren't requiring it, I should have sent them the initial drawings. Here's what I'm working on. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have
a lesson learned, a hard lesson learned.
Yeah.
You thought you had a lot more freedom than.
Yeah, I guess so. And In the case when something like that happens in the art world, you ask for a kill fee, so they're not using it, but you did this work for them,
mm-hmm.
and so they'll give you a certain amount of money, less than a normal cover would be, but try to compensate you a little bit,
for your time and effort. So the cover work that you did for his books is just—it's almost startling. It is just so, I love the mystical quality of it and just,
cool.
You know, it just, you see it and you just, whoa.
It jumps out at you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's really
beautiful.
A real compliment.
You said that you've done some work on CD covers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference, not necessarily in the process, but in the art, what's the difference between doing artwork for a CD cover versus doing artwork for a book cover?
I think there's a huge difference, and that is that the book covers are an illustration and the CD covers are not. The book covers, you're doing a visual representation of the story that's inside, and the music, you're doing maybe a visual representation of the music that's inside, but that's open to so much interpretation. In one of the CD covers I did, the musician, he told me what he wanted on it. He said, I want this from this song. I want me riding a leopard on the cover. I want this. And there got to a point where I finally had to say, okay, that's probably enough stuff for a CD cover, because, you know, they're pretty tiny.
Yeah.
But other times there's been more freedom, and I do ask the bands to send me lyrics, because since the music hasn't been released yet, I want to read those, and if they do have the music to a point where I can hear it, I want to hear it first. But if that's not possible, hopefully they'll have some music from the past that's in a similar style. Because, you know, I like the whole package of music with art. It's kind of going away with the way music is now sold, MP3s and such, but it's still alive to an extent. And the bands I generally do it for are these smaller bands.
Indie artists
really appreciate the cover art.
Yeah.
I like the package of it, where the art, there's the art of the music, there's the art of the cover, and they work together as a greater whole. That's really exciting to me. So,
I like your approach, because you bring a lot of different things into your art, and I'm wondering if now you also play an instrument, you're musical, and you write you write songs and record songs.
I do.
So, how do you think? That, do you think that influences your artwork for the CD covers? Do you think it helps?
I think so. I think the creative processes between visual art and music, they have an overlap for sure. There are some things that are different between them, but yeah, I definitely love music. I love creating it, and when I do music, it's a very visual process for me.
Hmm.
I kind of see the music in my mind as... It's hard to explain how I see
or
it.
As
not really
lyrics,
a scene.
Or...
There's visuals of... It's so hard to describe.
Is it like those light shows?
Maybe. I've tried to draw out what I see in my mind when I'm thinking through this music.
Colors?
No, it's
like
more...
Like the Fantasia type?
Maybe a little bit, but...
interesting.
In my mind, it's kind of lines that... overlap in different ways and get bigger, you know, with the music getting broader I guess the way to explain it would be to turn it into music and play it. But I have tried to draw out what I picture, and it's never worked because I want to then manipulate it visually and then bring it back to music.
But the music is constantly changing as well. So the images in your head are constantly going to be changing, and catching one instance of that is going to be very difficult.
And that's one of the big differences between creating them, is that art is, well, at least the art I do is static. It's just this one captured scene, whereas the music is in time. It's a given amount of time, and it does change over that period of time. So that's actually a big difference between the two.
So do you think that having all these different creative outlets helps you, like the music help, well, it's kind of like the last question I asked, but the music helps you be more creative with your art, and the art helps you be more creative?
Yeah, I think so. As I, I listen to and collect a lot more music than I do art, and which is kind of strange since art is my focus in my profession. You'd think that I would spend a lot more time looking at art and buying art, and maybe it's because art is expensive that I haven't done that. But I do want to take more time and learn about more modern artists and more of what's going on in the scene. But I guess for the reason that I spend so much time, more time with music, I think a lot about the artistic, the creative process of music, and commercialism of music versus, and how that conflicts with trying to be creative. And then I do apply that to art also. So I think the fact that I spend so much time thinking about music does influence my art in that way.
Do you listen to music while you do your artwork?
I do. And
do you pick certain types of music for certain types of art, or?
No, it just depends on my mood at the time, but I can't listen to music and read at the same time. I can't, do music and homework or anything like that. So it actually kind of surprises me that I can paint, which takes so much of my mind and my creativity, and still listen to music. But for some reason, they don't conflict. And it helps me stay more focused, where if I don't have the music, I'm more likely to take way too many drink breaks or lose my train of thought. But if I've got a I call it an album, which will kind of age me in the way I listen to music. But if I have a certain album playing, you know, I'll sit that whole 40 or 50 minutes to listen through that and paint the whole time. And that helps me work harder, I think. So,
well, I really think that art and music are just two different expressions of the same thing. Well, and we've talked to other authors and publishers and editors who say when they write, they have to have a certain, they have their favorite songs that go with this certain group or this certain story.
I've made albums just for a certain book I'm working on.
Really?
Well, and I've got, there's a song, it's one of my favorites, but it fits in one of my stories so well that every time I think of a certain scene in that story, that music goes along with it. It's just, it just fits.
I think that the creative process, you just can't limit it to one of the senses. You talk about listening, you can't read and do and listen to music at the same time. But you can do art and listen to music at the same time because your mind is interpreting those as the same thing.
That could be it. Yeah, I've wondered, you know, why that is, and I've thought, you know, if I weren't an artist, I'd want to be a musician, which it's probably even harder to make money that way. But the great thing about being an artist versus being a musician, and this might sound silly, is that I can listen to music while I work. If you're a musician,
you can't listen
you
to music
can.
While
you're supposed to be creating it or performing it. So
true.
I get the best of both worlds in a way.
That's great. Okay, well, what are some of the differences between working with musicians and working with publishers or authors doing the art? Is there...
I wouldn't say there's a huge difference as far as working with the people. As I mentioned, that doing the books where you're trying to convey the story that's in there is a lot different than the freedom of an album cover. I've been fortunate to work with these musicians who, for the most part, have really let the creativity fly. And when I share ideas, they're, hey, go for it. Awesome. In fact, working with this band Oblivion Sun that I'm doing the cover for their second album, I had these ideas I wanted to do where they had told me, well, we want you to illustrate this, the main song from this album we're doing, which is this epic 20 or 30 minute song. I'm not sure quite how long, but it's going to be the bulk of this album. And so I'm illustrating this, and there's this kind of this ghostly woman who's walking through this forest. And so I took that and added my own ideas to it that I felt fit in the lyrics that had been sent me. And I sent these ideas to one of the musicians, and he wrote back and said, awesome, follow your muse, man. Hey, that's the perfect client to have.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
That's great. All right, well, we're out of time for this one, but thank you so much for sharing your ideas
with us.
So again, we've been talking with Michael Phipps, artist, and we've been talking about kind of the creative side of the artwork, working on book covers and CDs. So, and also, don't forget to comment on one of the podcasts for the Michael Phipps podcasts to be entered in a drawing to win one of the Jimmy Fincher books with his wonderful artwork on it. You've been listening to Writing Snippets. Thanks for joining us.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.